Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the upper part of Daf Vav, the point in the Gemara with which we'll be beginning is noted by a diamond surrounding the expression Ibai Elho. However, before we actually learn the Gemara, let's take advantage of some of our introductory notes, topic headings, and structural notes that accompany this sugya. So you'll notice we have something labeled Nosei Klali and Mivneh. We feature a diamond, and diamonds, as do all the geometric forms in our marking system, represent a series. So we have described this as a Sidra Shel Birurei Halacha Be'iser Masu Matan Im Hagoyim, a series of questions that delve into the prohibition of conducting commercial business actions and the other related prohibitions, as was mentioned in the Mishnah, with the Gentiles prior to their holiday period. You'll notice that we have also marked off with Roman numerals diamonds that appear to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, helping you to find quickly where they are. So the first question is the Gemara with which we'll be beginning. A later down the page, the Gemara asks, "Ibai Elho Mishum Harvocho Dumi Mishum Fnei Iver?" And the third question appears on Amid Beis, where the Gemara asks, Ibailo, Nosa Venosan Mai. That gives you a general overview of the structure. As we get into the immediate Gemara, we provide another Nosei Mivne heading, whereby we feature a Roman numeral 1 in a diamond, indicating this is the first of the questions. And we've written in, Haim Shloisha Yomim Dekotoni Bamishna. The expression, or the phrase, 3 days, that appears in the Mishnah. The Mishnah began by saying, "Lifnei Eideim Shalom Dikachovim Shloisha Yomim," that prior to the holidays of the idol worshippers, 3 days. That expression, 3 days, Kolel Yom Hoed Oilo, does that include the holiday itself? In other words, is it 2 days prior to the holiday plus the holiday itself, comprising 3 days, or the 3 days is exclusive of the holiday? In other words, 3 days before the holiday, one is prohibited in conducting business with them, and then after the 3 days comes the holiday itself, which is certainly prohibited to conduct business with them on that day. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice triangles. This too is one of our series markings, and we've written in on the side of the Gemara, the triangles represent nisyonos, attempts, lehoichiach, de gimel yomim lifnei, de masnisen, the expression of 3 days before the holidays that appears in the Mishnah, einoi koileil yoim hoed. That will be the thrust of these attempts to show that the 3 day time period does not include the holiday itself. We'll also notice a repeat expression, the Isalka Daitoch Heinveidehem, whereby the Gemara takes the side that it probably does not include, because if you were to think that it does include, then you'll run into the following problem. Whatever it is, the Gemara will explain it as we go along. But you'll notice, as you scan down the Gemara, that this phrase repeats itself, and hence we've assigned one of our series markings to it. However, each time that each time, the Gemara will then deflect the attempted conclusion that was attempted, the attempted conclusion being that the 3 days does not include, the Gemara then will reject that and say it may very well, yes, include. And this will repeat itself till we get to the fourth stage, where the Gemara ends off with a conclusion. As you can see, right before the next diamond, the Gemara there, if you scan down, it says, Elo Shema Mino Hein Belo Eidehen Shema Mino, that in fact, the 3 days featured in the Mishnah are 3 days without the holiday included. Let us now turn to the Gemara itself. Ibayaloho. Shloisha Yomim, the 3 days that are featured in the Mishnah, Hein Ve'edehem, is that an amount of days that includes the Gentile holiday? Oidilma, Hein Beloy Edehem, or it's a 3 day period prior to the holiday, exclusionary of the holiday, namely 3 days of prohibition, as we'll call them pre days, and then the holiday itself, which would of course be prohibited. Toshma. The Gemara brings a Tanaic source in an attempt to show that it's probably Hein Beloy Edehen. The source says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shloisha Lifnehem, Ushloisha L'Acharehen Aser. Rabbi Shmuel talks about 3 days before a holiday and 3 days after the holiday as being prohibited. Now, if one were to think that the 3 day figure is inclusive of the holiday, so then when you look at Rabbi Shmuel's presentation, it comes out that the holiday is referenced to twice. Rabbi Shmuel, Yom Eidehem Choshev Lu Meikara, V'Choshev Lehu Lebesof. In other words, he's counting it twice, and that's unreasonable. Therefore, at this point in the Gemara, it's most likely that the 3 days is exclusionary of the holiday. The Gemara, at this point, you see an inverted triangle, a rejection. Aidi detana shloisha lifnehem. Since the Tana taught 3 days before, and that 3 days could very well be inclusive of the holiday. Therefore, for the sake of balance, Tana nami shloisha lachrehem. It mentions 3 days, Rabbi Shmuel mentions 3 days afterwards. However, those 3 days afterwards is really a reference to 2 days afterwards. Namely, the holiday was already counted as part of the three before. And as far as after, there are really only 2 days that follow the holiday that are to be prohibited. Let us glance at Rashi. The first narrow line, Tonanami Shloshachrayim, Afagav Delesnu Eloshnayim, even though the number of days that follows the holiday is only two, Chashvinon Le'ed Bahadi Kamoi, Daho Chashvinon Le'ed Bahadi Kamoi, because we already included the holiday as part of the three before the holiday, Korilubasroinami Shlosha, the source refers to the days afterwards also by the number three, the Kochoshiv Le'ed Badayu, and considers the holiday together with them. Continuing in the Gemara, Toshma, the Omer of Tachlifa bar Avdimi, Omer Shmuel. Yoim Rishon, Ledivre Rabbi Shmuel, Le'oilam Oser. This phrase is a little bit cryptic, but since Sunday is viewed as a idol-worshipping holiday, therefore, it comes out, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that the entire week is forbidden. How would one conclude that? Well, if Sunday itself is viewed as a Yom Eid, and there is a balance of 3 days before and 3 days after, for a total of, we'll call them 6 pre-days and 6 post-days, that's how you figure that the entire week and every week will be usher. V'i salkadaito chen v'edehem, if one were to think that the calculation of three is inclusive of the holiday, so then why would one say lo'oilam usher? Why would you say that the entire week is usher? Because if Sunday is included, so you would calculate that Saturday is prohibited and Friday is prohibited. Those would be the 2 days before plus Sunday. Let's go over that again. You would have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's three. And you would have Monday and Tuesday as being prohibited. But that would leave open Wednesday and Thursday as being allowed. And yet, Rabbi Shmuel doesn't say that. Rabbi Shmuel says that since Sunday is a holiday, the entire week becomes prohibited. So let's see this in the Gemara. If one were to think that the three figure includes the holiday, you have Wednesday and Thursday that would be allowed. And yet, as you can see from the markings, we dashed underlined the word le'olam oser, indicating that it's not so. Wednesday and Thursday are not allowed, according to Rabbi Shmuel. So you see from this that the three figure is exclusive of the holiday itself. The Gemara rejects this and says, Alima de Rabbi Shmuel lo komeboyali dehein lo edehem. As far as according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's clear that it's hain below edam. It's the pre-days, the 3 days that are referenced to are exclusive of the holiday. However, ki kol mibayel li, my question that was featured in the diamond where the Gemara opened up was alibo de rabbonon mai. What about according to the opinion of the rabbonon? Omar Ravina Toshma. Ravina says, let us look at the continuation of the Mishnah. In other words, our Mishnah appeared on Daf Beis. However, the Mishnah continues on Daf Ches. So one has to imagine that it's really one continuum of Mishnayos. So the Mishnah on Daf Ches says, V'eilu hein edehem shelo v'kehovim, kalando, satrunya, v'kartasim. Those are names of holidays, three holidays that are named in the Mishnah. The Omar Rav Chonon bar Rava, Kalando, the holiday named Kalando, Shmoina Yomim Achar Tkufa. It is celebrated 8 days after the winter solstice, with the date that the winter season sets in. And Satrunya equals Shmoina Yomim Lifnei Tkufa. And the holiday of Satrunya is 8 days before the winter season sets in, before the date of the winter season. Sometimes that's looked upon as December 21st. V'simonech, in order to remember that the first holiday mentioned in the Mishnah actually comes out later on the calendar. In other words, the Mishnah presents a series of holidays, but they are chronologically out of order. So in order to remember that, remember the following pasuk. It says, Ochor v'kedem tzartani. First you find Ochor, which means later, and then the word kedem, which means earlier. So just like in the pasuk, the word that indicates later appears first in the text, so too, as far as the holidays are concerned, kalando, even though it appears first in the list, it actually comes out later on the calendar. So the Mishnah on Daf Ches, in featuring the holidays, it mentions that it mentions the names of holidays, and Rav Chonon explains that the length of the holiday is 8 days. These two holidays are 8 days in length. The e salka daitoch hein v'edehem. If one were to think that the days that precede a holiday include the holiday, so that when you learn the Mishnah Daf Beis that says lifnei edehem shelo v'kachovim shloshi yomim, that figure is designed to include the holiday, then why would he term Kalanda and Satruni as 8 day holidays? Asora havu. More accurately, Rashi focuses the question on the Mishnah itself. Why would the Mishnah say that the period of prohibition is 3 days, when if you have a holiday that lasts 8 days, well, and you have to include, and you include the pre-days as well, that is assuming that you say hein v'edehem, then it would be more accurate to say that Mishnah Daf Beis should have said that lifnei edehem shelo v'chovem asara yomim, because the Mishnah Daf Ches actually enumerates the holidays, and we're told that those holidays are 8 days in length, and the pre-days that the Mishnah Daf Beis features is a figure that includes the holiday as well. So if you have the holiday plus the pre-days, it really should have said 10 days are prohibited doing business with them, namely the 2 days before plus the holiday itself. So why does the Mishnah refer to 3 days before their holiday? The Gemara answers, Tana, the Tana on Daf Beis, Kule Kalando equals Chad Yoimahu Choshevle. It's true that as far as days are concerned, it's 8 days, but the Tana, when viewing the holiday, he views it as just as 1 day. We can call it a long singular day having the length of 8 days. So since the Tana views the holiday as one, albeit long, day, therefore the 3 day figure might very well include the holiday. It's made up of 2 pre-days and the holiday itself. Even though the holiday may be celebrated over a period of 8 days, nevertheless the Tana views it as 1 day, and hence he arrives at the number 3, and that 3 in fact is inclusive of the holiday itself. Omar Rav Ashi, Toshma, we have another source, our Mishnah. It says, Lefnei Eidayim Shel Oved Kechavim Shloisha Yomim. Ve'i Salka Daitoch Hein V'Eidayim, if one were to assume that the pre-days that are featured in the Mishnah are inclusive of the holiday itself, it would have been more accurate to say as follows, Lisni, Eidehen shel Ovdei Kechavim Shloisha Yomim. Rashi explains, let's glance at the Rashi, a few lines above this point in the Rashi. Lisni Eidehen shel Ovdei Kechavim Shloisha Yomim. Lifnehem. Let's actually look at a Rashi that's above that, almost about halfway down the page. Lisni Eidehen shel Ovdei Kechavim Shloisha Yomim Osir Loseis Veloseis Imohem Demashma Hochi. If the Mishnah would have phrased it like this suggestion, it would have come out, Kishimagim Yemei Eidehem, when their holiday approaches, Osir Shloisha Yomim Masom Umatonam, business dealings with them, with the Gentiles, are forbidden. V'lomali Lemisni Lifnei, why is it necessary to use the word Lifnei? Demashma Lifnei Ho'ei Shloisha. By using the word Lifnei, it sounds like the 3 days are 3 days prior to the holiday, namely excluding the holiday. But since the Mishnah in reality does use the word lifnei, so that leads us to believe that it's hein below edehem. Because if it were hein v'edehem, the phrasing would have been different. Let's continue now in the Gemara. V'chi temo hai dikotoni lifnei edehem limute la'achar edehem. You might say that the use of the word lifnei is simply there to declare that prohibition is prior and not post. In other words, after the holiday, immediately after the holiday, it's mutter, it's permissible to conduct business with the Avodei Avodah Zarah. And that's why the word lifnei is there. But it's not there to separate the 3 days that are pre-holiday from the holiday itself. Well, if that really was the interest of the Tana, then Lisni Eidom Shel Ovdei Kechavim Shloisha Yomim Lifnehem. Let's look at the Rashi. Lisni Eidom Shel Ovdei Kechavim Shloisha Yomim Lifnehem Asurim. Dilishtama, that we would then derive, the Tana Didon Be Eidehem Iri, that the Tana is focusing on the holiday itself. Elam. Now it doesn't say that. Ela midelo adker b'masnisin leesor leisur klal. From the fact that the Mishnah doesn't say that. It doesn't say as was suggested. Shma mino kol hanoch gimel dekotoni b'masnisin. It must be, therefore, the three that are mentioned in the Mishnah lifnei koi, are referring to days that are pre, that are before. The Eidehen, as far as the holiday itself is concerned, memela mishtama dekol sheke de'osir. The holiday itself, it follows that it's obviously prohibited. V'hein beloy eidehem kotoni. And the Mishnah's Kavona is to say the 3 days are exclusionary of the holiday. Namely, there are 3 days that are separate from the holiday that are prohibited. So as we look back in the Gemara, from the fact that this suggestion was not used in the Mishnah, namely, it does not say Eidom shel Oedik HaChavim Shel Shem Lefneihem, Elo Shma Mino Hein Below Eidehem Shma Mino. Rather, since the Mishnah did choose to use the word Lifnei at the outset, that shows us that the 3 days that are mentioned are attached to the Lifnei and not including the holiday itself. We now start a new question, as question number 2, as part of the series of questions regarding the halachas of Iser Masu Matan with Goyim. Hibay Alaho, Mishum Harvocha, Oidilmo, Mishum Vilifnei Iver Lo Site Michal. What is the reason for the prohibition? Is it because of Harvocha, because of being responsible for increase? In other words, if I sell the Ovdei Avodah Zorah items, he has more material. Let's take a look at the Rashi, Mishum Harvocha, Derovach, because he now has profited or experienced increase, the Ozil Umoidel Vizkechavim, he will then go and thank his idol, the Ovar Yisrael Mishum Lo Yishom Al Picha, and the Jew who sold the stuff to him will be in violation of this pasuk that says Lo Yishom Al Picha, which means you shall not cause the idol's name to be mentioned. So therefore, if the Gentile goes and thanks his idol, I, the Jew, will have been in violation of causing him to mention his idol. That's one possibility. The other possibility is Lifnei Iver Lo Site Michshol. In other words, that the Goy, the Gentile, will, after feeling a sense of joy of the Jew having sold him something, he'll go and offer sacrifices to his idol, and as a result of my having sold him material, he will then stumble over the prohibition that applies to Gentiles as well of idol worship, and therefore I'm called a michshol b'fnei ha'iver. The pasuk literally means thou shalt not place a stumbling block in front of the blind, but I'm causing him to stumble by selling him stuff before his holiday, and his feeling a sense of gratitude toward his deity, he then would go and offer a sacrifice, thereby causing me to be oiver on lifnei iver. Lamai nafkamina. What difference does it make what the reason is? What practical difference is there whether you describe it as harvocha or lifnei iver? The answer to that is de islei behemo ledide, where the goy already has an animal available for offering as a sacrifice. He amris mishum harvocha. If you say that the prohibition of my selling him stuff is because I am causing him increase, ha komarvichle, I am causing him increase. He amris mishum lifnei iver lo site michshal. If the problem is that I'm now enabling him to worship his Avodah Zorah, ha islei lidei, but he already has an animal. So by my selling him, let us say, an animal, I'm not directly responsible or causing him to, or enabling him to worship his Avodah Zorah. He has an animal anyway. Before we go further in the Gemara, let us glance at the Rashi that says, V'lifnei iver. Demazvin lei behema umakriva avodas kechavim. The question that we opened up with at this point, question number 2, was the prohibition of my selling to him before his holiday, it would be easiest to learn the Gemara where we're dealing with selling him an animal. And that's the example that Rashi uses, where I would sell him an animal, and he would then go and offer to Makriva Levitis Gehoven. Uvnei Noyach Nitztavu Aleo, Rashi says, Ti Achas Misheva Mitzvus, Be'arba Mitzvus, Sanhedrin. Arba Mitzvus is the name of the perek in Sanhedrin, where the seven Noahide laws are presented, and one of them is the prohibition of his engaging in idol worship. Unehi Damoran Omad Vetiran Mihu Al Yavru Al Yodecha. That even though we indicated that the goyim are less bound, so to speak, in keeping those sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach, in other words, God saw that they weren't fulfilling them, so they thereby lost the chance to receive complete reward for it. Nevertheless, Rashi points out, I should not be responsible for his being in violation. Because even though in the future they're not going to really deserve reward, and rather instead they will be penalized for their having not fulfilled those mitzvahs. By my having sold an animal to him, he'll now be able to worship his avodah zarah with that animal. The Gemara therefore said that the nafkamina would be the difference between these two approaches of either harvocha causing increase or lifnei iver placing a stumbling block is a situation where he already has an animal. So if he already has an animal, by my selling him a second animal, I am causing him increase, and then he'll go and thank his avodah zarah. However, if the problem is lifnei iver lo sitei michshol, I'm not placing the stumbling block in front of him. He already had an animal of his own that he could have used for as offering a sacrifice. As you can see in our markings, as the Gemara goes on, we have a bracketed section. We have a note on the inside margin that indicates tam l'sograyim. The reason for our placing these brackets is the mikan have diun pnimi begeder lifnei iver. The Gemara will be discussing some technicalities of this prohibition, of this isur of lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. As far as the question is concerned, the Gemara presented the question, gave you a practical difference between the two sides, but as you can see from the markings, when you get to the end of the bracketed section, right after that, the Gemara embarks on the third question. Therefore, we can see structurally that this question is not going to be answered in a definitive fashion. It's just presented. What is the basis of the prohibition? Is it harvocha or lifnei iver? And we'll leave it at that. All that having been said, we now proceed with the bracketed section. And as we said a moment ago, this section of Gemara will be delving into details concerning lifnei iver. The last point that we mentioned before the brackets was that if the Gentile has an animal of his own, something that is capable of being offered as a sacrifice to his idol, and then I turn around and sell him the Jew sells him an animal, which would then be in addition to the animal that he already owned on his own, I would not be in violation of lifnei iver because he already had the possibility on his own of offering a sacrifice to his idol. The Gemara now asks, and we've indicated a long question is about to follow, and you can see that by the kuf that's written in to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line that continues down about five lines from the top of Amud Beis. The Gemara asks, "V'chi islei," and given that he has an animal already of his own, "lo ovar mishum lifnei iver lo sitei michshol," is a person. Not in violation of the prohibition of lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. V'hatanya, we have a Tanaic source that indicates to the contrary. that even if someone had the ability on his own to do something, and I came along and helped him out, once again, I helped him out in doing something that he could have done on his own, I am still nevertheless in violation of Lifnei Iver. The source says, Omar Rabbi Nosson, Minayin Shelo Yoshit Odom Kois Shelyayim Lenozir. The Aver Minachai Livnei Noach. From where do we know that a person should not extend a cup of wine to a Nozir? A Nozir, as is well known, is prohibited from consuming wine. I come along and offer a Nozir a cup of wine. I should not do that. And likewise, Aver Minachai, a limb ripped off of a living animal. This is one of the prohibitions that exist within the realm of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And from where, therefore, do I know that a person should not extend such a limb that was ripped off of a living animal, to a Ben Noach, to a Gentile? Talmud Lomar, Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol. Don't place a stumbling block in front of the blind. In other words, don't cause someone to stumble over something they are prohibited in. In this case of offering the wine to the Nozir or offering the Aver Menachai to the Ben Noach, if I wouldn't give it to him, namely, let's take for example the cup of wine to the Nozir, he could take it on himself, the Ka'avar, and nevertheless, even though he could have done it on his own, I am nevertheless, by assisting him, I am in violation of Mishum Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol. So why did you say at the bottom of Amud Beis that in the event that the Goy already had an animal, I would not be in violation of it? The Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayas kinan, the case that's featured in this Tanaic source is in fact the situation where he would not have been able to do it on his own. The Nazir would not have been able to take the cup of wine on his own without my assistance. Dekoi betray avri nahara. The two parties are standing on either sides of a river. Therefore, the Nazir who's on one side of a river would have no access on his own to the cup of wine that's on the other side of the river where I am standing. Therefore, without me, he would not have been able to do it. Daiko Anami, through careful reading of the source, you can in fact see this point. Dekotoni lo yoshit, velo kotoni lo yitain. The Mishnah uses the expression, the Tanaic source uses the expression lo yoshit. Yoshit is an idea of an extended handing over. It doesn't say lo yitain, which would be a simple form of thou shalt not give, but rather it uses the word yoshit. Yoshit, which is, as we mentioned a moment ago, is an extension whereby one stretches out his arm in order to give something to someone else. So we see that the source is really talking about a case of trei avri nahara, and therefore it's a case of something where he would not have been able to do it on his own. But if someone who is commanded or is prohibited from doing something could have done it on his own anyway, and I came along and just added to it, I would not be in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol. Shema Mino, and therefore this is conclusive. Ibai Eloho, Nosa V'Nosan Mai. Here the Gemara asks, let us say that a person violated the prohibition of dealing with the Gentiles during those pre-days, the days before the holiday. I was in violation. That's he went ahead and did business with them anyway. My. The question is, can I benefit from that which I got from the idol worshipper? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Nosa v'Nosan Aser. Reish Lakish Amar, Nosa v'Nosan Muter. We've underlined the two names. They represent a machlokis concerning this topic. Rabbi Yochanan says that if one went ahead and violated it, he cannot benefit from the material that he received from the Gentile. And Reish Lakish says that even though one may be prohibited, if one violated anyway, it's mutter for him to benefit from what he received from the Gentile. We've assigned to this particular section of Gemara a topic heading, and you can see that under the nosei. We feature there a diamond with a Roman numeral number 2, because actually a Roman numeral number 3, because this is the third question, and that's the topic. The topic is as follows: Ovar Venoso Venosan Imohen Biyomim Shelifnei Mahu Bahano Mahu Aschor Bahano. If one received merchandise from them, or if one received cash from them because I sold something to them, what is the status of the money that I got from them? So, as we saw in the Gemara already, this is a machlokis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says that which you got from them is prohibited. It's osir bahano, and Reish Lakish says mutar. As we go on in the Gemara, we will note that we have an aleph and a beis that follows. You'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, we've written in an aleph, and a few lines later you'll notice a beis also to the right hand side of the Gemara text. In the middle of the line you'll notice an aleph dalet ikah di amri. It's an alternative version, another version, and as we often indicate in our markings, when you encounter alternative versions, the expression indicating the switch we will squiggle underline, as we've done here, the abbreviated aleph dalet representing ikah di amri, another version. So we'll now show the first version, Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan L'Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan, who took the stringent approach, he asks on Reish Lakish from the following source: Eidein shel Oivdei Kechavim Nosa V'Nosan Asurin. My love, how should we understand this source, Lifnei Eidein? The source that spoke about Eidein shel Oivdei Kechavim, should we not understand it as referring to the pre-days? And it says that if one violated the prohibition, it is usur. The merchandise or that which you receive from the Gentile is in fact prohibited. The Gemara rejects this as being inconclusive. Loi Eidein dafka. The source spoke about Eidein, their holidays. It's not referring to the pre-days. It's speaking specifically about the holiday itself. So that if one did business on the holiday itself, the items that you got from the Gentile, those items will be prohibited. But as far as the pre-days are concerned, even though they may be prohibited as well, the result of violation is not the same. And Reish Lakish will tell you that it is mutter. Ikah d'amri, Eisvei Reb Shimon Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. You'll now notice that it's the tables are turned, so to speak. Reish Lakish here asks on Rabbi Yochanan. He cites the same source, Eidein shel Ovdei Kechavim Nosa V'Nosan Oser. And we continue reading. As you can see, there's a connector saying Eidein in Lifnei Eidein Lo. The prohibition of benefiting from the items received when this was violated, when the restriction of conducting business was violated, applies to the holiday itself, but not to the pre-days. This too is rejected. Tana Edi v'edi Eidein kori lei. The Tana, when making a reference to these times, whether it be the holiday or the pre-holiday days, the Tana refers to all of them by the same term, Eidein. Hence, when you read this source, it could indicate, like Rabbi Yochanan said, that even if one violates the pre-holiday restriction, the items that one received from the Gentile are prohibited. Tanyo Kavose de Reish Lakish. We now present a Tanaic source, a Brisa, that supports Reish Lakish. With our markings, often when a Tanaic source is presented, we like to dash underline the main point of the source. In this case, if you glance to the end of the source, you'll notice a dashed underline that says Nosa V'Nosan Mutar. That reflects Reish Lakish's opinion that if one violated the restriction, nevertheless, the material one received is allowed. So now let's read the whole source. Kishamru osur loseis veloseis imohem. When the Chazal ruled that it's prohibited to have dealings with them before their holidays, lo osru ela bedovar hamiskayim. The prohibition was only with respect to non-perishables. In other words, I'm not allowed to sell to them a non-perishable. Aval bedovar she'eino miskayim, lo. But as far as perishables are concerned, there is no restriction. It wouldn't be usur. Therefore, I would be allowed to sell to a Gentile during the pre-days, those pre-holiday restrictive days, tomatoes. V'afilu b'dovar hameskayim, and even concerning that which is restricted, namely the non-perishable, if one violated and sold anyway, nosa v'nosal mutar, if he was in violation, and he did sell him the non-perishable, so the cash that he received will be allowed. Tani Rav Zvid b'debei Rav Oshaya, dovar she'ein meskayim, moichin lahem, aval ein loichin mehem. We spoke about perishables. It is mutter to sell to them perishables, but it is not mutter to buy from them perishables. The very fact that an item is perishable gives increased joy on the part of the one who's selling it. So if I, the Jew, buys from the idol worshiper a perishable before his holiday, he will go and thank his deity for taking off his hands, and not only that, but getting paid for the perishable. Therefore, this source qualifies the heter concerning perishables, and that heter says that it's mutter to sell to them, but not mutter to buy from them. Hahu mino, there was a min. We've encountered these characters before in earlier dapim. These are non-believers or heretics, and there was a min. Deshadar le dinra kisrano the Rabbi Yehudah Nasiya b'yoyim edo. The min on his holiday sent a dinra kisrano. Dinra is a coin. Kisrano is a reference in this case to a newly minted coin. Kesar, generally speaking, is a reference to the Caesar, to the new monarch or head of state. So it appears that we're dealing with a newly minted coin, possibly a monarch that recently entered office. He minted coins under his own insignia, and one of these new, one of these freshly minted coins was sent by a min to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya on the min's holiday. Havi Yosef Reish Lakish Kame. Reish Lakish was sitting in the presence of Rabbi Yehuda. Omar, Rabbi Yehuda wondered aloud, Hey Chiyavid, what am I going to do? Ashkele, if I take it from him, Ozilamoda, he'll go and thank his deity for my having taken a gift from him. He'll be happy that I received his gift, and that's a problem if he goes, and that's the root of the problem in all of the sugis we've been dealing with. Loi Ashkele, if I don't take it from him, Havule Eva, it will cause strife and strain, and that's one of these things that we try to avoid. At all costs, so to speak. When I say at all costs, of course, that's a figure of speech, but we can assume that the rabbis would not issue a ruling that would lead to Eva, and in the event that it leads to Eva, we would think that there would be a relaxation in the law. So, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya is saying that it does not seem to be an option for my refusing to take it. Omalei Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, I have an Eitzifri, I have advice. Toil Uzrok Oso Lebor Befonov. Take it from him, take the coin from him, and throw it into a pit. In other words, throw it out in his presence. Omar, Rabbi Yehuda says back, Kol Shekein Dehavile Eva. Boy, if I take the man's gift and throw it out into a pit in his very presence, he'll certainly have a sense of anger and wrath toward me. So Reish Lakish answers, no, you didn't understand what I meant. He said, Kilachar Yad Hu Dekwamina. I said, make it look like that it fell out of your hands. In other words, you are going to be throwing it out, but do it in such a way that it'll look like it slipped out of your hands, and as a result of your not really benefiting from his gift, he will not go and thank his deity. And as far as you having received it from him, so in effect, you didn't receive it from him. At this point in the Gemara, you notice another one of our series markings. We have a double underline with dots in it, and as you scan down the next few lines, you notice this repeats itself. These feature, they highlight the different examples that appeared in the Mishnah. Each one of the examples was presented in a somewhat called double fashion. Not redundant, but double. Example, taking the first one, Lash Ilon, there's a prohibition of loaning items to them,
and lishol mehem, to borrow items from them. The same thing with regard to loans, and the same figure of type of presentation with regard to the paying of debts. At this point, we'll glance at the topic heading that we've assigned to this sukkah. You see a nosei and mivneh heading in the outside margin. We feature the double underline with dots in it. Srifi l'chol dugmois ha-mishnah. We will demonstrate how each one of the examples of the Mishnah are necessary. That will preoccupy the Gemara midway down the wide lines, as you can see ahead in the Gemara. Lahashilon v'lishol mehen. The Gemara comments, Bishlamo lahashilon. I understand why prior to the holiday it would be prohibited for the Jew to loan items to the idol worshipper. To call marvach lehu, you're causing him to experience increase. He has more, even though it's temporary, but he has more now that he didn't have before. And causing increase, we saw, is a problem. As we mentioned earlier, when he experiences increase, he then will go and thank his avodah zarah, and I'll be in violation of lo yishoma al picha. Avol lishol mehen miute ka mimat lehu. Why is there a prohibition of borrowing from them? If I borrow something from them, he now, temporarily speaking, has less. Omer Abaye gezera lishol mehen otu lahashilan. Abaye says, even though and by letter of the law it would seem to make sense to allow borrowing from them, we feel that if you borrow from them, you're going to come around to loaning things to them, so we prohibit borrowing from them as well. Rova Omar kula mishom de'ozil u'moidehu. All of these restrictions, namely loaning to them and borrowing from them, is a problem because the Gentile will then go and thank his deity. The goy will be happy that the Jew needs him, so that when the Jew borrows from the idol worshipper has this feeling of satisfaction that the Jew needs me, and with that feeling, he will then go and thank his deity. Lahalvoisam veluvois mehem, and the Gemara will go through a very, very similar structure, and you'll see a similar machlokas Abaye and Rava appearing. You can use the markings by noticing how we've underlined Abaye and Rava, and glance ahead each time and see their presentation. So as we see right now, the Gemara says, Bishlamo lahalvoisam. I understand the prohibition against loaning cash to them. Mishum deka marvach lehu. You're causing him increase. He now has more money, more buying power that is available to him. Elo luvois mehen amai. But to borrow money from the idol worshipper, why is that prohibited? Omer Abaye. Gzera luvois mehen otu lahalvoisam. We institute a restriction against borrowing from them, because if we allow that, one may come to loan to them, and that is clearly prohibited. Rava Amar kula mishum da'ozil u'moide hu. All of these are prohibited because of the goy, even in the even at the point that the Jew borrows from the goy will feel a sense of satisfaction that the Jew needs me, and he'll go and thank his deity. Leforon ulefroa mehen, to as far as paying off debts are concerned, bishlamo leforon, I understand very well the prohibition against paying money owed to the Gentile. Mishum dekomar v'chlu, you're causing him increase, and he'll go and thank his deity. Elo lefroa mehen meute mimat lehu. But to collect payment from the Gentile before his holiday, you're causing him decrease. Why should that be restricted? Omer Abaye. And now we'll see a familiar answer. Once again, gezera lefroa mehen otu leforon. We restrict collecting debts from them in anticipation of the opposite situation arising, which is certainly prohibited. Rova amar kula mishum de'ozil u'moidehu. All of these restrictions are because of the fear that the goy will then go and thank his deity. Utsrichi. The Gemara now points out that I need all of these examples, these different types of commercial relations, to be specified as being prohibited. And with the markings, what we've done is we squiggle underline the opening of each dealing. De'itana loseis veloseis imohen. If we would have taught, if the Mishnah would have taught the issue of sales and purchases as being prohibited, mishum dekomar v'chluhu v'yozulamodeh, because I'm causing him increase, I'm selling him an item that he didn't have before, that cause of increase is reason for him to go and thank his deity. Avol lishol mehen, but to borrow an item from them, dimeute komimit luhu shapir domi, without the Mishnah having taught the problem of borrowing, I would have thought it's mutter, because by my borrowing from him, I'm causing him to have less possessions momentarily. Therefore, it was necessary to teach the prohibition of lishol mehen. The itana lishol mehen, had the Mishnah taught that it's prohibited to borrow from them, mishum dechashiva le milsa v'ozu lamodeh, there's a certain sense of importance that one feels when he loans out an item. Therefore, if the Jew comes and borrows from the Gentile gets this feeling of importance, and that will cause him to go thank his deity. Avol, lilvos mehen. But as far as borrowing cash, taking a loan from him, tsaro bi'almo yislei. Omar, the goy feels a sense of pain. He figures like this: tuv lo hadri zuzi. I'm not going to see my money again. So that loaning out, borrowing money without having been taught the prohibition, I would have thought that it's simple tsar for the goy to loan money to a Jew, and as a result of that, he's not going to go thank his deity. Therefore, it's important for the Mishnah to teach that that too is prohibited. The itana luvos mehem, had the Mishnah taught the prohibition of borrowing money from them, mishum de ka'omar Baal Korche Mifarno, he figures I'm going to be able to forcibly be able to get my money back. Vahashtomia Ozulamode, and in the meantime, as we mentioned earlier, the Gentile feels that since the Jew needs him, that will be reason for him to go and thank his deity. So that may be obviously prohibited. Avolipora mehen, but as far as collecting a debt from the goy, the su lo hadri zuzi, he's not going to get any money back. He's paying off a debt. There's no further money coming back to him. Emo tsara isle velozi lamoida. Here he has real pain. He's paying out money, not going to get anything in return, and therefore, since he's feeling pain, he's not going to go and thank his deity. So, without the Mishnah having taught that lipor mehen is usur, I might have thought it's okay. Sricha, therefore, it's necessary for the Mishnah to teach that as well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, nifroi mehen. Rabbi Yehuda, we saw in the Mishnah, says that you are allowed to collect a debt from them during this pre-holiday prohibition period. The Mishnah went on to say, Omru lo, afal pi shemetzer hu achshav, even though he feels initial pain when he is paying off his debt, sameach hu le'achar zman, by tomorrow he is going to be happy and he's going to go thank his deity. So why do you, Rabbi Yehuda, allow this? The Gemara now asks, the very reasoning of the Rabbanan, is it so that Rabbi Yehuda himself doesn't accept that? The less lay the Rabbi Yehuda, does Rabbi Yehuda himself not hold from the following idea? We've included this in a phrase marking. We have a Tanaic source that shows that Rabbi Yehuda himself is aware of this approach, namely, that even though something initially is cause of pain, he recognizes the happiness that he experiences later on. And since Rabbi Yehuda might very well hold from this reasoning himself, Rabbi Yehuda should have forbidden accepting payment of debts of whereby the goy pays his debt to the Jew. The Hatanya, we will now see in this source that Rabbi Yehuda is sensitive and aware of this concept of Meitzer Achshav Samech L'Achar Zman. The topic that's dealt with in the source is not really related to our topic, but the theme that exists here is common to our topic, and that's why it's brought in. And you can see with our markings, we've used a dashed underline to highlight the main phrase, at the end of this source, you see, Afapisha Meitzer Achshov Sumechu Lachazman. And this is under the heading of Rabbi Yehuda. Let's see the source and hence the question. V'hotanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Isha lo sosu b'moyed v'nei shenivul hu la. That during the holiday, specifically Chol HaMoed, a woman should not apply sid to her. This is a type of cosmetic treatment that when done, it makes her look unpleasant. When it's finished, when the whole treatment is finished, it results in improved appearance. But when it's done, initially, when it's done, it creates nivul, creates unpleasantness. Umoyta Rebuta, besid, Rebuta says that if you're going to deal with the sid material, besid, sheyecholu lekaplu b'moyed, a sid application, it's a substance that's used in this cosmetic treatment, if this sid application can be peeled off from her skin on the holiday itself, namely the initial application and results will be experienced during the Chol HaMoed itself, that it's mutter to apply it on the moed, on the holiday, on the Chol HaMoed, it's mutter to apply it. Afopi shemitzira achshav, even though initially it causes her discomfort and causes her pain, smechahi lacharzman, she will be happy nevertheless afterwards. And this happiness, if it's experienced during the Chol HaMoed, this treatment becomes permissible. What is the main point for us? We see that Rabbi Yehuda himself is sensitive to this phenomenon of initial pain and later happiness. If we apply that back to our case, how is it that Rabbi Yehuda allows the Jew to collect payment from the goy? But even though the goy feels pain while he's shelling out the money, he'll be happy afterwards that he got the debt off his back, and he'll go thank his deity. So why does Rabbi Yehuda allow collecting debts from them during the pre-holiday restriction period?
Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Hanoch lehilchus moyed.
Leave aside the source that we just brought in concerning the laws of Chol HaMoed. Dekuhu meitzer achshav smecho liachar zman. The entire realm of Chol HaMoed is based on the idea that if you will benefit during the holiday from whatever activity you're doing, the initial activity, even though it may cause pain, is allowed. But that's a specific allowance that is characteristic of Chol HaMoed. We are not going to take that theme and apply it to other realms. This idea extends to things as simple as cooking. While one is cooking up the food, he's not enjoying that. It's necessary to do because after the food is prepared, he enjoys it. Hence, it's allowed during Chol HaMoed. But that's a standard that we apply to Chol HaMoed. However, we don't take this this concept and apply it to other things. Hence, we're not going to apply it to the issue of accepting payment from the goy, and therefore we're not going to factor in the simcha le'achar zman, and since there's initial pain, we allow it to be done during this holiday, this pre-holiday period.
Ravina Omar, oivei techovim le'in piroin.
Ravina observes that idol worshippers, when it comes to their paying out money, le'olam meitzer, they don't experience simcha li'achar zman. They feel only the pain, and therefore it's allowed.
Masnisin delo kirbishu ben korcha.
Our Mishnah, as we will see shortly, is not like the opinion of Rav Shulman Korcha.
Desanya,
Rav Shulman Korcha omer, milva bishtar ein nifroi mehen, loans that are recorded in a document. Those kind of loans, if the Jew has a document indicating that the Gentile owes him money, that kind of loan cannot be collected by the Jew from the goy during the pre-holiday restriction period. Milva al peh, nifroi mehen. However, loans that are owed to the Jew that are not recorded in writing, they were simply of an oral nature, those kind of debts one can collect from the Gentile, even though it's during that pre-holiday restriction period. Because it's as if he's saving something that he has a chance to collect something that later on he might not be able to collect. Since he has no shtar indicating that the money is owed to him, who knows whether he'll be successful in collecting it later. So if he's presented an opportunity to collect the money now, we allow him to collect it, because otherwise he might lose it forever. Before we go any further, let's take note of our markings. You'll notice Rabbi Shimon Korcha's name appears in a diamond with a colored in tip. Let's glance at the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh heading. He'ora. We want to note something. Me'achar Shagmora Hiskir of Shimon Korcha. Once the Gemara made mention of Rabbi Shimon Korcha, it did so in the context of saying that our Mishnah, which made no distinction between Milva Alpeh and Milva Bishtar, that our Mishnah forbade all loan collection, even if it be a Milva Alpeh. This is not like Rabbi Shimon Korcha, who says a Milva Alpeh one is allowed to collect. So once we mention Rabbi Shimon Korcha, the Himam Shicha Achara Sograyim in Piske Halacha Sherb Shimon Korcha, the Gemara will continue mentioning other halachas that are presented in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha. We will see that they are not related to our topic at all of prohibition of business dealings with Goyim, but nevertheless, they do have in common that his name appears and his halachic renditions are incorporated in those sources. And this you can see as you scan down Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, a number of comments of Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha. This is, as we mentioned, follow the bracketed section. B'sorcha sograyim, agamora todun, ma hatzorach lifsoik for Yehuda be'inyon umon sheshina. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will deal with a very specific issue where we see Rav Huna rules like Shitas Rebbe Yehuda regarding a craftsman, an artisan, that violates the order that he received from the Balabos, a customer that came in and made a request of an artisan, and the artisan didn't conform to the request of the customer. What is the halacha under such circumstances? That will be a very much self-contained discussion, as we are attempting to indicate with our markings. That having been said, let us begin the bracketed section. Yosef Rav Yosef Achorei de Rabbi Abba, V'Yosef Rabbi Abba Kamei de Rav Huna, V'Yosef V'Komar. Rav Huna says the following. 2 points. One, Hilchasuk Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha. The halacha, the halachic ruling, the final ruling will follow that of Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha. We just saw that. And the Hilchasuk Rabbi Huda. The Gemara now goes over these points. Hilchasok Rabbi Shimon Korcha Hodamoran. What was meant by Rav Huna that we follow Rabbi Shimon Korcha, it was in this context that we will allow the collection of oral loans whereby a Jew during the 3-day prohibition pre-holiday period is allowed to collect oral loans from a Gentile. Kirev Yehuda, the idea that Rav Huna is paskening like Rabbi Huda, Disnan. That's featured in the following Tanaic source. Hanoisein semer letzav letzvolo odom. I presented wool, some undyed wool, to a tzavo. A tzavo is a person who is a dyer. He dyes material, dyes wool, and I requested for him to dye it red. Vitzavo is shachar, and he dyed it black. Or the other way around. Shachar vitzavo odom. I ordered it to be dyed black, and he dyed it red. So you have an artisan that violated the order of the Balabayas. Rabbi Meir Omer, Noisein Loi Demei Tzimroi. Rabbi Meir says that the tzaba is expected to pay the customer the value of the wool, and the artisan keeps the now dyed wool. It's true that the dyed wool is worth more than the undyed wool. However, there is a rule that says that a gazlan is koine b'shinui. Rashi points this out, and since this artisan did not follow the orders he received, he's viewed as a gazlan, as a type of thief, and as a result of his instituting a change in the item, he thereby is considered the new owner of it. Gazlan koine b'shinui. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, I take a different opinion. I don't want to see a thief, so to speak, someone who violates his orders and actually ends up benefiting, but rather I want him to have the bottom, to be on the bottom. And how will that work? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im hashevach yeser al hayetziah, if the increased value is more than the expenses that the artisan invested in dyeing the wool, the customer will pay the artisan for his expenses and take the wool with its the now dyed wool with its increased value. V'im hayetziyo yaser al hashvach, if the expenses that the artisan invested in dyeing the wool is worth more than the increased value of the wool, noisei lo es hashvach, the customer will give the artisan the value of the amount of money that is that the wool increased in value. That's called the shevach, and the customer once again will retain possession of the dyed wool. It's regarding this that Rav Huna paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. He's paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir, whereby the customer will inevitably get the dyed wool, and as far as method of compensation is concerned, that depends on whether the shevach is yisrael tzio or yitzio yisrael shvach. However, Rav Huna won't rule like Rabbi Meir that says that the artisan keeps the dyed wool and pays the customer for the value of the raw material. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.